Well, good evening, everybody, and let me welcome you to our final drive-in this evening. It's very good to see you all with us tonight. A little bit darker than this time last week, and a little bit colder as well, and so I'm going to request, in good spirit with the pastor that's up here freezing, that if anybody has a car with heated seats, that for the next hour that you'll turn them off and bear something with me. Now, I'm only joking you. It's really, really good to see you all tonight, to say this is the last of our series of drive-in churches, and if you've been here from the start, you'll know the format, that you're able to tune in on 87.5 FM. You probably want to do that tonight, keep yourself a bit warmer. But if this is your first night, you're very welcome. Can I just acknowledge publicly tonight, just a word of thanks to the facility here that has allowed us to hold our drive-in church this year. It's been greatly appreciated. We appreciate the help of the council and the Development Association, who have granted us this right from the very last Sunday in July, right up until tonight. So we're very grateful for that. Can I also, at this stage, thank all of the people who've been involved technically. This is going out live over the internet, and also it's being broadcast to you in the car as well. So that doesn't happen just in the click of a finger, and we appreciate the work of all the men who are down here early getting everything set up. Can I also just publicly acknowledge all the people that have sang and testified and preached over this last number of months? It has been greatly appreciated, and we believe that the Lord has been blessing and speaking. Most of all, can I thank you all who have come week by week and supported it. And, you know, it has been really appreciative that you have come along. But most importantly, we want to think about maybe if you have come and the Lord has been speaking to you, and you know, you're searching for something. The world in which we live, you're searching for something more. You're unsure, you're convicted, you're concerned. That's why we hold these meetings, because we have a message of hope. We have a message that the Lord loves you, even though that we are separated from Him. And you know, there's hope found in the gospel. There's hope found in the Savior who lived and died but has risen again. And you know, tonight you can be saved. You can have your life changed. And we're going to look at a verse, a very important verse from God's Word, a little bit later on. But tonight we're really glad to welcome Moses Suarez to our gathering this evening. He has sung for us in the church, and we're really grateful that he's come along tonight to sing, and I'm going to invite him to come in a moment or two's time. But just to say, this time next week, God willing, we'll be back into our church building from 6:30 on a Sunday night, and so don't be a stranger. You're welcome in the car park here, but you're equally as welcome down the road. It's going to be a little bit warmer, and you'll be very welcome to join us in our church building, both next Sunday morning at 11:30 or 6:30 next Sunday night. Now, before Moses comes to sing, I'm going to pray. And if you're a Christian tonight, on this, the very last night, can I ask you to pray that God would really speak and have a word in season, a challenge to everyone's heart tonight? Father, we want to thank you for another opportunity to come and to share your word. We want to thank you that your word is truth. We want to thank you your word is real. We thank you, Father, for the gospel. Lord, we thank you that even though we are sinners, even though we are born separated from you, we thank you, Father, for the plan that you put in place through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his perfect life. But we thank you for his death upon the cross, that he took our sin and our shame and our condemnation, and he bore it himself. And Lord, he done it so that we might be saved. And we rejoice tonight that he's alive and he lives in the power of an endless life. And he wants to grant abundant life to all who will trust him. And Father, I pray that as the message is both sung this evening by Moses, that you'll bless him, you'll give him strength. But as the word is preached, oh Father, we really pray that the Spirit of God would visit this place, and that we might see signs following the preaching. Bless your word, but particularly speak to those that you've been speaking to week after week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do a reading then in between your... All right, thank you.
Wonderful Savior. hide is my soul in the cliff of the rock, the rivers of pleasures I sing. How wonderful, Savior, is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He gave me a strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows are dry, thirsty lamb. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Numberly blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture of glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. When clothed in his brightness, transporting I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with a million on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows are dry, thirsty lamb. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Praise thee.
as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, when death
Thank you to Moses for those couple of pieces. I'm going to ask him just to sing again in a moment, but before we do that, I want to take a reading, and I want to just read from God's Word. I'm not going to preach from these verses, but they do tie in with what I want to share tonight and what the overarching message is, and it's found in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3 and in verse number 6. It says in Hebrews 3 and verse 6, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhorting one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation."
Silver or gold, I'd rather be his than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be just the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this whole world affords today. faithful to my Savior's dear cause. Rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Yes, I rather be true to His holy name than to be just a king of a vast domain, and be hailed in sin's raceway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this whole world affords today. He is fairer than lilies or rarest bloom. He is sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He is all that my hungering spirit needs. I rather have Jesus and let to be just a king of a vast domain, and be held in sin's raceway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this whole world affords.
Well, let's all just pause and let's pray and let's ask as we come to God's word that He would speak to all of our hearts. Father, we want to thank You for what we've already heard tonight. Lord, we thank You for what Moses has sang, the truth in those pieces. And Father, now as Your word is opened and a simple thought expounded, Father, we pray that it might please You to visit this place. May the hush of heaven fall, may hearts be soft, and Lord, may the Spirit move. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks to Moses for coming tonight to sing, and we really appreciate his help this evening. I want to just read one verse, and it's found a way back in the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah chapter 8, the prophet Jeremiah says this. He says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You know, it's we can say tonight as we look out and as we see the difference there is from last week to this week, that certainly the summer has ended. As you look at your car temperature, you'll know that the summer has ended. If you look at the fields, most of them are cut, and the harvest is by and large in, and you'll know that the harvest is coming to its end. And the summer is a time of fruitfulness. The summer is a time when we gather. Harvest is a time when we reap. And you know, we all live and we look forward to the summer. The summer is a time of joy, and you could say it's a season that pictures hope. But you know, this verse tonight is that we have read, Jeremiah writes, and he's writing to the nation of Israel. He was a prophet to Israel. Israel was and still is God's ancient people. They were the chosen people that God spoke through and worked through many, many years ago. But the problem with Israel as a nation, they're no different to us in the fact that they were normal people. They were people that God loved with an everlasting love, but they had sinful hearts and they were prone to wander. And yet the Lord loved them, and the Lord was so good to them, and the Lord gave them so many blessings. But the problem is this, that even though the Lord had done so much for them, they turned their back on God, and they lived a life of rebellion, and they lived a life of sin. And you know, the Lord warned them time and again, look, I love you, but if you don't turn from your ways, then judgment will come. And if you don't turn from your ways, I'm going to send a nation, and they're going to take you captive. And I'm going to show you your character and my character. I'm going to show you who I am and who you are. The problem is this, much like Israel, or much like us, they didn't listen. They didn't listen to God and they kept on living life their way. They kept on doing their own thing. They ignored God. They worshipped other gods. And do you know what happened? Though the Lord loved them, God's patience with them ran out. And a country called Babylon and the king of Babylon came called Nebuchadnezzar and he took the nation captive. And Israel was carried off into captivity. And here, Jeremiah writes about that time and he writes from the perspective of Israel. And they think back to all the times that they had to repent. They rebelled continuously and they were called to repent continuously. And now they're in captivity. This is their lament. They have said, you know, the summer is past. And the harvest with all its opportunities are ended. And we, where we are today, are not saved. That little phrase is a Hebrew proverb and it literally means one season of hope after another has passed, but the looked for deliverance never came and now all hope is gone. You see, Israel had squandered their countless opportunities to get right with God and their cry at the end of it all is we are not saved. We're going to look at that little phrase tonight, but you know, what a sad state to be in. To be given countless opportunities to be saved and yet be in the place where you're still not saved. To have come to the drive-in week by week and we've loved to see you and it's been great to see you, but you've listened to the messages and you've listened to the testimonies and here we are at the very last night and the conclusion is you are not yet saved. I want to think about that little phrase and by the end of the meeting tonight, our prayer is that you will be saved. We are not saved tells us three things. First of all, we are not saved is our default classification at birth. Do you know whenever we are born, a birth certificate is filled in and there are lots of boxes are ticked and you know our mother's name's put in and our father's name's put in and their occupations are put in and you know the gender is put in and our weight and all of these other things and where we're born is put in. But you know really all those things don't really matter because if there was one extra classification put on our birth certificate, it would be this, we are not saved. You know, some people think that they are automatically saved, that they're born saved, that they're born a Christian. But yet, here's the thing, it does not matter how religious of a home we're born into. It doesn't matter whether we're the son or daughter of a conscientious Catholic or a particularly Protestant parent. None of those things matter. You see, when we're born, we are not automatically saved. Nobody can claim to be already saved and therefore have no need to be saved. Maybe there's boys and girls here tonight and I know there are and it's great to see you. And maybe mommy and daddy is a Christian, but I want to tell you tonight that does not make you a Christian. You see, we are not saved. The Bible says, and David, one of the godliest people ever to have lived, said in Psalm 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me." You know, we are all born as part of a sinful humanity, every single one of us. No matter how religious or irreligious we are, no matter how good living or upstanding we are all attached to Adam, the first man, and therefore have all inherited his sin. In Romans 5 and 19, we read that for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You and I tonight, the preacher, the man in the yellow jackets, everybody in these cars have all been born a sinner. At our birth, we could all write on our birth certificate, we are not saved. And that's a fact that we cannot change. In fact, to ever get saved, we must first accept this classification, that we are born sinners and naturally we're not saved and that we need to be saved. And maybe that's what you're struggling with tonight. Maybe that's the part you've been stumbling at, to accept that you are a natural sinner before God, that we're naturally separated from Him, that we don't deserve His love. But you know, to ever be saved tonight, we must trust the only one who was ever born in history of humanity, who was born without sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There has been no other sinless person born into this world. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus that he was the one who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. That's why we point you to him. That's why we point you away from the church and point you away from the chapel and point you away from charity and point you away from anything else, because none of these other things can save us. We point you to Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who is free from sin and is the only one who can free from sin. You see, a sinful Savior would be no need, no use to sinners who need to be saved. You know, we cannot put our trust in anyone else because everyone else has got sin. Romans 5 and 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is who you need tonight. Jesus Christ is the one who went to the cross. Jesus Christ is the one that loves you. Jesus Christ is the only hope for you. He is the one who can rescue you. You see, he's the only one that can rescue you from our default category at birth. Oh yes, at birth our classification was we are not saved. That's how we're born. Nobody is born saved. Nobody is born ready for the kingdom of God. That's our default classification at birth. But you know, I want to think about something else tonight. He says, this summer, the harvest is ended, the summer is past, but we are not saved. Yes, it's our default classification at birth, but secondly, it's a deadly condition throughout life. You know, it's bad enough to be born unsaved, but it's worse still to live unsaved. To go through life being given chance after chance, after chance to be saved, and yet never get saved. You know, you say to me tonight, if I think back over my life, I've heard the gospel probably more times than you have. That's the reality of living in a country like Northern Ireland, where there's pulpits in almost every town, there's tacks up on walls. Granted, it's not as much as it used to be, but in your lifetime, it's impossible to live in Northern Ireland and not know that you need to be saved. And yet, maybe tonight you've gone throughout your life and you've ignored the meetings and the messages, even though you've went to them. All the while, God wishes you to be saved. Every one of those meetings, you've heard that God loves you. That God loves you with an everlasting love. And as Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and 9, that he's long-suffering, not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance. The Lord wants that for you, and he wants that for all of humanity. That is why God sent his Son into this world. That's why God has gone to the lengths of speaking to this world. He's long-suffering. He is patient. He's quick to pardon. He's slow to condemn. You know, as we read the history of Israel, as we read the history of humanity, God gave Israel countless chances to repent of their sin and return to him. Countless summers and harvests. And yet Israel let each pass without any response or repentance. Sought for another summer, hoped for another harvest. And how many do the same with the gospel still? I've heard time and time again their need to be saved and yet never acted. You want to know something tonight? You may not know how many times you have heard the gospel, but God does. God keeps a record of every tract you've received, every text you've read, every meeting you've attended, every night you've sat at the drive-in church and God has spoken, your heart has been moved, and yet you're not saved. God has counted those, and you know he'll hold them against us when we stand before him in a future day. And you know all those accounts will condemn us. But God doesn't want to do that. That's why God has given you this chance again tonight to get right with him Oh, I wonder if you're not saved, if you're not yet saved, do you realize that you're living in a deadly condition? People talk, and you know, it's quite a poignant illustration. People talk about being terminally ill if they have a disease that they can't be cured of. Do you know, this evening, tonight, you're spiritually ill. There's literally a death sentence on your life. And you know, there's a sentence hanging over your life if you're not saved. And the only thing that's keeping that sentence from coming to pass is the grace of God that's keeping you alive. John 3:36, Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I wonder, do you realize that tonight? God loves you, but God is a holy God, and God must punish sin. And that's why he sent his Son. He wanted to punish Jesus instead of you. But if you don't believe in him, if you reject God's offer and you go through your life living unsaved, then what other choice has God got in the end? Does it not concern you tonight that you're not saved? Do you not care? Do you not care that God loves you? Do you not care that Jesus died for you? Do you not care that God has been speaking? Do you not care that God could have taken your life, but has spared you until the 25th of October 2020 just so you could hear the message again? Have you ever considered and counted up the opportunities? Perhaps you're hoping to stretch your days out to see another summer. You're hoping for another harvest. Well, I want to tell you tonight that God is in the harvest field of the world now. And I believe with all my heart that he's drawing in the last of his crops and he's harvesting souls. And he's passing this way tonight. You dare not miss this last harvest, for it might just be the last. We might hold another drive-in church next year. The reality is we may not even hold a gospel meeting next Sunday night. None of us knows. And that's why I read those verses today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, in Genesis 6:3, God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And tonight you might tell the Lord to go his way, and that might be it. You may not die for another 10, 20, 30 years, but God may never speak again. Oh, tonight we have read of how that the summer is ended, the harvest is past, and we are not saved. That's our default classification at birth. We're not born saved. That's a deadly condition throughout life, to live unsaved. But I want to bring it to a close tonight. I want to bring this drive-in season to its end by saying we are not saved is a devastating conclusion to life. Yes, it's our default classification at birth. Oh, it's a deadly condition throughout life. But it's a devastating conclusion to end life. Yes, it's bad enough to be born unsaved, and it's worse to live being unsaved. But what is absolutely tragic is to die unsaved. To die without ever knowing Jesus. To die without ever getting right with God. To die without ever repenting of your sins. To have lived and listened to the gospel. To have sat through the summer seasons year after year. To have missed the harvest seasons year after year. To have taken your chance. And to have your chance taken from you. then when all is said and done, to be launched out into eternity without Christ and without hope. To have someone like me stand at your funeral and sum up your life with lots of positives and say, you know, he was a great person. Do you see her? She was a fantastic GB leader. Oh, that man, he built a successful business and was good to his staff. Oh, I remember that lady, she came and she sat at the drive-in church. His lovely wee lady waved at me on the way out. To be able to stand and give a glowing commendation of your life. And yet to have this one overarching negative and say, for all of that, but he was not saved. But she, brilliant wee woman, but she was not saved. What a tragic conclusion. What a devastating conclusion, oh, I say tonight. How long will you halt between two opinions? Christ loves you and died for you. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He is the only way. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says, how then shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This is the only option. Tonight you know you're a sinner. And you know that you need to be saved. And you know that you need the Savior. And you believe every word I've said and every testimony that has come. And yet could it be something or someone is holding you back? Summer is past. Life is getting on. Harvest time is over. Your chance is now. And your chance is before you. I wonder, are you going to let that someone or that something keep you out of heaven and see you out into a lost eternity? Think very carefully about that now. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's the embarrassment of acknowledging that you never were saved. Maybe it's speaking to that family member or that colleague. Oh, what is it that's holding you back tonight? Oh, if there's something, I want you to think very carefully about it. I'm going to tell you a story. It's an absolutely true story. It's a story told by D.L. Moody. And in this story, I want you to listen carefully. And with this, I am finished tonight. It's quite a lengthy story, but you listen very carefully. And Christians in their cars, you pray. Because this is absolutely true. D.L. Moody, when he was alive, a very famous preacher in Chicago, wrote when he was alive, I remember a few years ago, I felt very anxious for a man who was present at a meeting just like this one. At the close of the meeting, I asked all to rise, and he rose among the others. I took him aside and said, now will you become a Christian? Will you come through for Christ tonight? He said he was wanting to very much. The man was trembling from head to foot, and I thought surely he was going to accept Jesus. I spoke to him in his hesitating condition and found out that what was standing between him and Christ. He was afraid of his work companions. Nearly every day and night, news came to me that some of these employers and clerks made light of the meetings I was holding and made fun of all who attended them, and so many gave the same reason that this man did for not getting saved. I said to him, if heaven is what we are led to believe it is, I would be willing to accept it and bear their fun. I talked with him, but he wouldn't accept it. He went off. But for weeks, he came every night and listened to the messages, but went home the same way as he came without ever accepting Christ. One day, however, I received a message to come and see him. He was sick, and I went to his house. He wanted to know if there was hope for him in the 11th hour. I spoke to him and gave him every hope I could. Day after day, I visited him, and contrary to all expectation, I saw him gradually recovering. When he got pretty well, he was sitting on the front porch, and I sat down by him and said, "Will you now confess Christ? You'll be going to take your stand for him now, I suppose." "Well," said he, "Mr. Moody, I promised God in my sick bed that I would, but I will wait a little. I am going over to Michigan where I'm going to buy a farm and settle down, and then I'll become a Christian." "If God cannot make you a Christian here, he cannot do it there," I replied. I tried to get him to make an unconditional surrender to Christ, but he wouldn't. He would put it off till next spring. "Why," I said, "you may not live to see next spring. Don't you see I'm getting quite well? But are you willing to risk that till next spring?" "Oh yes, I'll take it, Mr. Moody. You needn't trouble yourself any more about my soul. I'll risk it. You can just attend your business, and I will to mine. And if I lose my soul, no one will be to blame but myself. Certainly not you, for you have done all that you could." I went away from that house then with a very heavy heart. I well remembered the day of the week, Thursday about noon, just 1 week from that very day, when his wife sent for me. When I went to their home, I found her in a great trouble and learned that he had had a relapse. I asked if he had expressed a desire to see me. She said, "No, he is always saying there is no hope, and I cannot bear to have him die in that condition." I went into the room, but he did not speak to me. But I went round to the foot of the bed and looked in his face and said, "Won't you speak to me?" And at last he fixed that terrible, deathly look upon me and said, "Mr. Moody, you need not talk to me any more. It is too late. There is no hope for me now. Go talk to my wife and children. Pray for them. But my heart is as hard as the iron in that stove there. When I was sick, the Lord came to the door of my heart, and I promised to serve him, but I broke that promise, and now I must die without him." I got down to pray. "You needn't pray for me," he said. I prayed, but it seemed as if my prayer went no higher than my head. He lingered till that night, repeating, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I am not saved." There he lay in agony every few minutes, this lamentation breaking from him. Just as the sun was going down behind those western prairies, his wife leaned over him, and in an almost inaudible voice he whispered, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I am not saved." And then he died. He had lived a Christless life. He died a Christless death. He was wrapped in a Christless shroud and was buried in a Christless grave. Oh, how dark and sad. Moody says, dear friends, the harvest is passing. The summer will soon be ended. Won't you let him redeem you? Folks, that's a true story. There was a man who had a chance to get saved in a night just like this, and he said no. And his dying words were, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I am not saved." I plead with you tonight, don't let that be your dying words. You have a chance to be saved tonight. Oh, Jesus is passing this way, will you not come? And will you not put your trust in him? He loves you. No matter who you are, what you've done, he'll save you. And he'll save you tonight. And when you're saved tonight, you'll never be lost. Oh, listen carefully. Tonight is the night when you must trust Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. We realize the solemnity of it, the seriousness of it, but Lord, these are eternal things. And I know there are those people who have been in this car park almost every week from this drive-in has started and they're not saved. And Father, I pray for them where they are tonight that they will be so broken, that they be so overcome with their lostness that they would cry like the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? And tonight they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and be saved for time and for eternity. Father, we can't save them. This drive-in season is over, but you can save. And I pray not a car will leave this car park, not a soul will disappear from this place without getting right with God. Will you save tonight, Father, we pray? Will you move with mighty power, in Jesus' name, amen. Folks, thank you all for coming tonight. If you believe the Lord's been speaking to you and you want to speak to me, just you stay in your car, don't move, and I'll be happy to come and chat with you and try and explain a little bit more, but please come and trust Christ tonight. If you're heading off towards St. Field and you're turning left, just stay in the left-hand lane. There's deacons up at the door that will not allow anybody to come in. And if you're going to Ballygowan or carried off or turning right, then stay in the right-hand lane. But may the Lord bless you. Can I thank you all for supporting our drive-in season since the start of the end of July. And may the Lord bless you all. And if you're very welcome to join us in our services next Sunday, but please think about what has been said this evening.